He couldn't remember the last time someone made him chuckle as much as she did. In fact, he couldn't remember the last time he shared a meal with someone. But April? Well, April had a way of looking at things which were naive at times, but also sweet. She wasn't completely innocent and seemed to understand the whole world wasn't hunky-dory all the time, but he was beginning to realize she believed she could, through sheer force of will, make everything better for a month or so around Christmas. Which might have been misguided, but was sweet as hell. "Can I ask about your Christmas traditions?" she asked as she finished her chicken pot pie. Cole shrugged. "You can ask me anything you want, Angel Toots." "I don't know about that. When I asked you about your childhood last time, you got all snappy. But I can't help but notice," she gestured around the small cabin with her fork, "there's no tree. There's no holly, nor ribbon, nor twinkly lights. There's nothing Christmassy in here." He leaned back in his own chair and hooked one arm over the back. "Don't see any need for it. Even once I build my own cabin, I'm not really the kind of guy to go all in for decorations." "Yeah, I can tell," she rolled her eyes. "Can I get you a small tree at least?" "Only if you come decorate it. Haven't you noticed I'm more of a Grinch than an elf?" "I have noticed." The way she peeked at him through her lashes looked almost hesitant. "Didn't you grow up with a tree? Do you have any family ornaments we can hang up?" He had to admit he liked the sound of "we" in that scenario, but he shrugged again, fiddling with his fork. "I don't have a lot from when I was a kid. My mom had to work two jobs to keep us going, and Christmas wasn't..." He hesitated, not sure how to describe it. When you don't have enough money during the rest of the year, telling a kid Santa will bring him lots of goodies on Christmas morning, but only if he's good, doesn't really work. For years, he hadn't understood why he was never good enough for a bunch of presents under the tree like he saw on TV. His weary mother had finally explained the truth, and the next year, Cole had gone out and gotten a job picking up nails at a work site and reselling them to help pay the bills. He'd been 10. Cole knew he shouldn't tell April all that, but he found himself perversely explaining it somehow, wanting to ruin her Christmas naivete, while at the same time hating himself for doing it. But April just leaned across the table and took one of his hands in both of hers. Those warm brown eyes of hers were watery with tears. Tears for his pain, long ago, and her smile was soft. "I'm sorry that happened to you, Cole. I'm sorry no one was there to help you." "No, that's not what I'm saying." "What was he saying?" He blew out a breath. "Look, I just mean Christmas isn't all happiness and cheer and desperate celebrations. Not everyone has it as good as you do." "I know, and that's why we all work so hard to make sure those around us, kids in your situation and others, can have a Merry Christmas. And it's not just a good time on Christmas morning, but year-round, too. That's why it's so important to the ranch to be able to offer scholarships, so little kids who are like you were can come to the classes and enjoy themselves." He blew out a breath. She was right. The Callenders were one of those families who didn't just talk the talk. They did things to make their community genuinely better, too. And April. Well, April was cheerful, and even though she may be naive and definitely bubblier than anyone had a right to be, she was compassionate, too, and was proving it by holding his hand and shedding tears over memories he'd long forgotten. She went out of her way to bring joy to others, not just herself. Her fanaticism wasn't just to make herself feel better, but it was even more to make everyone around her a little happier. And that was pretty special, he had to admit. "Can I ask about your dad?" She winced as soon as the words were out of her mouth, but she didn't back down. With a sigh, Cole figured he owed her the truth. Not much to say. Part of him wanted to pull away, roll his shoulders, and pretend as though it wasn't a big deal, but another part of him, a bigger part, refused to lose the connection of his hand and hers. "Did he leave during Christmas?" How had she guessed? "Yeah, he left when I was 5. He and my mother weren't good for each other, and though I don't remember much, I do remember the screaming fights. Of course, over the years, Mom told me the history from her side, so now I've got no choice but to think of him as a selfish bastard who drank too much and had no ambition beyond being a construction foreman."